And it's the time of the show when we go live to the offices of the Citizens Advice Bureau Spain. And Myra, as a party, Myra, good morning to you.
Good morning to everyone.
Good to have you with us. Now, today we're going to be talking about, we're talking about residency again?
Yes, I think this is going to go on for quite a while, this residency, one way or another. When we've got residency under the withdrawal agreement, then we'll have residency post transition period. So I think it could be an ongoing thing. But I would like to just say something, especially to the listeners in Valencia, about they've been told, apparently the Valencian regional government are saying they will vaccinate, COVID vaccine, all those who are not in the national health system. So that includes people with private health care, etc. And they're asking them to take and register for a temporary health card with their EHIC.
Right. I just want to stop. I've got a call in already on this one. Just one second, please. Morning, Claudia, you're live on TRE.
Good morning. Sorry to disturb you both. I live between Murcia and Fuente Alamo. We had an incident the day before yesterday. Our amigos or friends went up to their local medical centre, the same as we do,
right.
And they had an interpreter with them, and they asked, when is the COVID injections going to start? She said, the receptionist in Spanish, but we had an interpreter there, have you a TIE? They said, no, we have the normal residencia small card. You will have to get a TIE or she won't have an injection.
Did you hear that one, Myra?
I did. It's shocking. It shocks me that administrative offices or health centres do not know the regulations. And if they don't, where are they picking this up from? This is totally wrong. To update to a TIE is voluntary and not obligatory. And some people say, well, at the moment, no, it's quite clear in the withdrawal agreement that was Spain chose a declaratory system, therefore it cannot ask you to update for a TIE. That's your entitlement to do so. So the health centre need to know. And if they have somebody who will read the Spanish royal decree from July on this, it's quite clear. Besides the withdrawal agreement, besides everything, it's quite clear in the Spanish royal decree that is not obligatory.
The receptionist said, if you haven't got one by June, then you won't get a COVID.
I know where this is coming from. This is where a lot of people are reading either laws or withdrawal agreement with no understanding how to read. I mean, I didn't think it was happening with the Spanish as well, but I mean, it's quite clear in our community that everybody's now jack of all trades and I'm afraid master of none. So everybody can now read law, but they don't know how to interpret it. So what the health centre is taking this from the countries that are using a constitutive system, that your new residency must be updated by June. This has got nothing to do with Spain. Absolutely no deadline, actually, and there's no need to update. Sorry.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying, but it was a receptionist. She got really, I'll put it basically, bullshy. This is what you've got to have. Because if you don't, you won't get a COVID. And this has annoyed me.
Yes, you must maybe look and go to your town hall or somebody who can help you, who understands maybe your foreigner's office at your town hall. And they're welcome to call me and I will pass them the information that makes it quite clear. I will pass the law. I mean, you can't go better than the law, can you?
I totally agree with you, and thank you very much for the information.
You're welcome. You come to me privately as well. We'll help where we can, because, you know, I cannot do that. It's wrong.
Yeah. I actually tried to get on yesterday afternoon. I got put everything in, went for a donation, and it blew me out completely, so I'm going to try again this afternoon.
Are you talking about our website?
Yes.
Yeah, unfortunately, when we were dumped in August, there's no better word to use it, by our sponsor, after being so generous with us for so many years, we didn't get all the coding and everything, so the donation, it's our means of income, is not working correctly.
Oh.
You can always use a bank transfer and contact us, and we'll try and add you manually to the questions section. But yes, there is a problem, and there has been since August, unfortunately, for us and people frustrated like you trying to join. Okay, and I was bringing up about the registration for a temporary healthcare card.
Right.
Okay, well, thank you very much for the information. Take care, Stay safe.
You too.
Thanks very much for the call in. Right then, Myra, off on the line. 952-784-4000, the phone number. Studio at tre.radio is the email. The Facebook page is Talk Radio Europe Official. Myra.
The fact that it's been that the Valencian regional government has said that they will vaccinate anybody, even if they're on private health care or here just visiting, I should think, that would be okay if you were visiting Spain to use your EH, or now it's going to be the GHIC, if anybody has that, to register for a temporary healthcare card to be able to receive the vaccination. If you're resident here, either with papers or without, and you're residing in Spain, you're not entitled to register with the EHIC or GHIC unless you're a pensioner, and you wouldn't be using that in Spain anyway. You would be using your S1. So only those entitled to the S1 are entitled to the EHIC who are residing in Spain. Sorry if I'm confusing. So the majority do not have the EHIC or the right to have it. So by registering, residing in Spain and registering at the health centre with your EHIC means that the UK are paying for the costs of your vaccination and can claim the cost of full treatment back from you. People should be warned.
Okay, so that's one to watch out for. What else should they be worried about, Myra?
I think that's enough in that region, really. of course, we've got to talk about for people being rejected. I have lots of rejection letters because I offered to go through rejection letters and advise those.
Right. I mean, is this happening? Are people being rejected for their TIE then?
So, very much so, especially in the Malaga region. But I won't go in. We talked last time with Bill about that, why that was. So firstly, it's basically to do with documentation and incorrect application. You even have professionals and some lawyers making applications for those that do not qualify. Think they do because they were here before the end of the transition period. But because they do not meet the requisite under union law, do actually not qualify for residency. So these applications are being put forward and people are being denied. The thing is, people are spending their money to have these. And I think companies or lawyers or those who do not have an understanding, this again is understanding of the withdrawal agreement and the Freedom of Movement Directive, should not be taking on these chores.
We'll come to that in a minute. I've got another caller on the line for you. Morning caller, you're live. What's your question for Myra, please? Hello? No, we've lost that. Sorry, Myra, please continue.
Okay, so if you are not entitled under the withdrawal agreement, even if you've been residing here because you're lacking in certain documentation, then it's actually a waste of money to go ahead in that way. I'm reading all the time and I'm looking to pull out anything possible to help people who are being rejected, but they cannot just reapply if they do not meet the criteria. So it's a shame that, and you know, there's lots of reasons why people don't meet. It's quite simple. You must be here lawfully. That doesn't mean with a residency card, but that does mean under the articles relating to that in the European directive.
Can I just run by it? So, but if you have residency, if you have the green piece of paper, the green document, which is Residencia Permanente, you are okay to just swap it for a TIE.
Yes, that's the other case. Sorry, I was what I was talking about were the new applicants that were
right, okay.
So that's one thing. The new applicants able to apply under the withdrawal agreement, protected by the withdrawal agreement, some finding out that they're not protected under the withdrawal agreement because they don't meet the criteria. And then there are those that wish to update for the TIE. No rush to do so. It's voluntary. It's not obligatory. And there are no conditions attached to that. So all they, you know, it's very simple to make that application. All the information is on our website under third page on the Brexit link. It's by the Spanish government in English, and also I've added a small guide as well. So that's not obligatory. So anybody that's finding they can't get appointments, don't fret or worry, because you can do this at any time.
Okay, fine. But, I mean, obviously, it's not a case of you can't just rock up there with your documentation that if you haven't already got residencia, and they will automatically say, yes, of course, please come in and we'll give you a TIE. So what are people failing on then?
All right. People are failing, understandably, on minimum resources, for example. They're making an application either themselves or with a company or with a law firm, and they haven't got minimum resources.
And what classifies as minimum resources, just so we know?
Okay, that it doesn't vary. There is one law, and it's national law, and it's in the Spanish Royal Decree and in the European Directive, that minimum resources are, in Spain, the minimum pensions, which is a non-contributory pension. So somebody, one person applying, if they were getting as little as just under 6,000 a year, they're entitled to apply for residency. Unfortunately, Valencia, again, is asking an astronomical €9,000 per person.
Right, okay.
It's not right. And the minimum resources, and all anybody has to do is go to our website, put in residency application, minimum resources, and we update each year. So it's quite, but then some people may have enough, say somebody has 500 a month, they're just covering themselves, but they have two children. They cannot, they don't have minimum resources for the children. So we've got residents who cannot register their children.
Right. Okay. I mean, you would have thought that if you had residency, you know, your children would be automatically included in that.
No, you would think. You know, there's lots of little things that we're working on all the time besides answering questions and busy with CAB. It's me that's basically looking for all the possibilities, looking for all the little, not loopholes, but ways that we can help these people. And we're saying to people who are here, I think it's important to know, all those people that are here worried because they haven't for one reason or another, and we are not judgmental. We want people to be able to come to us for residency questions, whether that, whatever they've done or however, if they've lived this expression of under the radar, please feel free to come to us. We're not here to judge. And we will help wherever we can. So all those that are here and are worrying that they have to leave by the 31st of March when their 90 days are up, try not to worry, because they still cannot be thrown out because they haven't actually applied for their residency.
Okay. I mean, what should you do? I mean, can you, if you've been turned down one time, can you go back and have a second crack at it?
There's different things that have been that are happening. I mean, one is if you are lacking in documentation, they will give you 10 days to supply that. Again, people have not received the notification, and therefore their application has been dismissed because they've been told they've desisted because they haven't provided. So it's really important that the address used or the email used for notification is where you're going to receive these notifications. Right, so that's for documentation. If it's just that they've said, no, you do not meet this for this reason or that reason, like not having healthcare before the end of the year, then you will have 30 days to appeal.
Okay.
Some companies are not appealing. They're putting in new application. One has to look at each case individually. But, of course, for those who are making an application and getting their health care in the new year, some are passing through, but others have to understand that one of the requisites to be here lawfully is to be covered by healthcare. But saying that, those that are, again, this is a light for those that have been living here for maybe not lawfully, but they've been living here for more than 5 years, therefore a permanent residence.
Right.
And to be a permanent resident, and to be a resident actually does not mean that you've gone through administrative procedure to get a certificate. There's a recital 11 in the Freedom of Movement Directive makes it quite clear that your rights are given to you under EU, various, I'm not going to go into the laws before, a treaty, by the treaty and not by administrative process. So there's always ways to fight this, and this is what I enjoy doing. I enjoy fighting, finding all those little clues that tell you, hang on. So if you're not, you've got no residency papers, but you're a permanent resident, do contact us. A lot of people will be worried because you should be able to make your application under no conditions, with no conditions, because you're already a permanent resident. But you tell that at the offices, the Estranghedi offices, if they don't really, if people are not reading simple things, they're not going to read the more complex things that I spend time researching.
Well, this is one of the problems, and it's perhaps what we got off our call a little bit earlier on. I mean, it's all very well, but if you know, you can come up against somebody who isn't as well versed in the nuances, shall we say, Mara?
Yes. Hello?
I'm still here, yes.
Oh, yes, exactly. And people will stand their ground, but this has been going on before Brexit, before this new resident, in various other things where I've had a few years ago, somebody called me saying they wouldn't update their health, again up in Valencia region, their health cards, because they didn't have they hadn't updated their green certificate. Well, of course, I had to contact the health centre and say, you cannot update it. It has no validity date. And after a second call, they told me to let the pensioners know they could go in and update. So, you know, I mean, in the health centre, they should have somebody there. They shouldn't, you know, the receptionist and the staff and the doctor shouldn't have to know law, but they should be, you know, have memos sent to them, one would think.
Well, we wait to see with that one. And also, it seems we seem to be having a regional discrepancy, as you said before, between, say, Andalusia. Valencia region seems to have a few more teething troubles, we'll call them, which will be generous, Myra, yeah?
Yes, and then but then Malaga is having one, because the head of Malaga and his thoughts on what they've got in Malaga, this thought that people who wish to circumvent the 90 days and 180-day rules are applying for residency. Well, that could be the case, but those people are usually, if they're trying to circumvent, they don't want to become residents, sometimes because they don't want to be fiscal resident. It doesn't work. You cannot become a resident and be a non-fiscal resident at the same time, not for the first 5 years, simply because to retain your residency status, which now will be noticeable, wasn't noticeable when we were EU citizens, you need to be in Spain for 6 months. Every year.
Yeah, of course.
To be a non-fiscal resident, non-tax resident, you must be in Spain. You mustn't be in Spain for more than 183 days. So there's the... doesn't work.
Myra, anything else you want to update us with? We've got about 5 minutes left.
I think it's important that people, before making, but a lot of people have, making their residency application, make sure they're doing it with those that know the criteria they need to meet. This is to stop them wasting money and then being turned down. You really need to know and have all the person who's making the application for you really needs to know what you need.
It's an interesting one, isn't it? Because I've seen on social media an awful lot of people cropping up and suddenly being experts and saying, oh, well, you know, well, I can sort this out for you, and putting the heebie-jeebies into foreigners who perhaps don't speak the language and need to get this sorted out.
Well, I had a case where somebody contacted me and they were told that they couldn't. The husband was from another EU member state, obviously not UK national. The children were with UK passports and they were told they couldn't apply. The father couldn't apply for them as family members of an EU citizen because they had UK passports. I mean, this company, I was quite cross, should not be doing what they're doing. It's like we're trying to, as you know, we probably curb and myself, we're trying to do things to make sure that lawyers, people have the lawyers, the right lawyers for in the field of expertise that they need. But this goes right along the line. Hestors or whatever they wish, you know, Hestor, an ordinary Hestor is just somebody that moves papers, should really be qualified and should be reading law and updating themselves and be totally aware before they take people's money, really, to make applications for whatever it is.
If people
I feel very strongly.
Oh, here we go. Quick question. Is a condition of your TIE, your pension, being paid into a Spanish... Sorry, I've just lost that now. That's always good fun, isn't it? Yeah, is a condition of your TIE, your pension being paid into a Spanish bank? I have been permanent 25 years, but pension always in the UK.
She has been permanent 25 years?
Yeah, permanent 25 years.
Does that mean permanent resident with a green certificate?
Well, I'm only going what I've got off here, so I imagine if she is permanente, yes. So
right, she doesn't have, there are no conditions like that. She doesn't have to show income or anything to update for a TIE. It's just very simple procedure by filling in the form, the X23, by paying the small TASA, by having your passport, your residency and a photograph and a padron if you've moved address in that time. It's very simple. They mustn't ask you for...
That sort of information. It's not a condition. You don't have to have your pension.
Again, I can't stress enough for those that are sort of worried because they've been here and they're permanent residents but have no way, have not made the application and somehow don't meet the criteria. I'm willing to fight with the law behind me so that they can apply for residency without any conditions. That means not having to show anything. It's as simple as that.
Just give the listeners before you go then the contact numbers, Myra.
Well, it's best to Google us. Just put in Citizens Advice Spain. Okay. And then all the details are there, including huge box with contact us. And then people say to me, I can't contact you. There's a huge box that says contact us on our website. So just Google Citizens Advice Spain, please.
And just to leave you on a good note, I've had a WhatsApp here from somebody who hasn't given their name, but they've got a Buzz Lightyear avatar, I think you call them, you know, as their pictures. A Buzz Lightyear from Toy Story saying, absolutely fantastic update from Myra. The work at CAB is awesome. Interpretations of the law are interesting. So thanks, Myra. There you go. You've got Toy Story. We wait to hear. You've got Buzz Lightyear. We wait to hear from Woody as well.
Oh, lovely. Whoever sent that in, thank you very much. So nice to get a thank you or an appreciation for our team. Thank you.
Myra Azapardi, as always, invaluable advice. Take care, enjoy your weekend, and we'll speak very, very soon.